Well, hello there and welcome back to my podcast. After a long break, I am back with a new episode. This time, meet Alex Zapadinsky, who is the CEO and founder of Wellbe, a content company based in Moldova that is set for achieving great things. Some of the new projects include a new shoe deal, a documentary coming up about one of the most important music artists from the USA, but the name cannot be disclosed yet. Also, scripts for big platforms like Netflix and Hulu and many more other stuff. Alex has international studies. First of all, due to his father's line of work, it was safer for Alex to go abroad at the time, and so he was sent to a boarding school in Austria. He tells us in this podcast stories about his time there and how the experience shaped him, also having a great support from the people who were working there. He also got an associate degree in event, sport and entertainment in Switzerland. You will also find out more about his experience there, including how he found a way to make money, what is Switzerland really like, and the opportunities that he had to attend grand openings, sport festivals, and much more. I hope you enjoy this. Hi, Alex, and welcome to my podcast.
What's up? Finally, I made it. Yes. I'm on your podcast, finally.
Woo, let's open the champagne.
yep, pop the bottles. We got a lot to discuss, so let's go. Let's jump right into it.
Let's do it. I'm super excited to start again my podcast, and especially with you, because I can sense you have a great energy and you're very fun to talk to. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's learn a little bit about you. And I'll jump straight into asking you, because I know that you're the founder and CEO at Wellbe. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah. Wellbe.
Oh. Yeah. Wellbe. So let's start with that. What is this company about?
Oh, it's a fun story. Basically, everything starts in 2009, I would say. Mm-hmm. My father was the founder of one of the newspapers here in Moldova. And it was the only newspaper which was basically telling the truth in regards to politics and economic situation here. Mm-hmm. So it took him not a lot of time to have not that many friends, but to have a lot of strong enemies. Ooh. So at some point, we started getting like death threats, calling the phone I was small. And people were telling us like, we're going to get your father, we're going to kill him, we're going to do this and that and try to, you know, extort him. So he made his mind up that we need to change the whole situation. Mm-hmm. We need to protect ourselves. So
yeah, not true.
First thing he did, he like got a security for us and he changed the door locks and, you know, this basic stuff. But then him and my mother, they started to talk behind closed doors about, they always had a dream to make sure their kids get a great education. I don't know, maybe it's something which comes with the age. So they made their mind up to ask me if I want to go and pursue my high school diploma or maybe even university degree somewhere outside of Moldova, you know? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't feeling that. Like, I wasn't happy to hear that because I already have friends established and relationships. And I know a lot of people from the neighborhood I'm from. And I'm going to this school and I have these friends. Yeah. And I like that girl. So I wasn't excited at all. I was like,
I can't imagine. How old were you?
Parents.
At the time?
Oh, it was. They started it a little bit earlier with that whole go to another country to study, but mm-hmm. I never took it serious. Like, since I was maybe 12 and I heard these conversations, I was like, no, you know, they just bugging, they just talking about stupid stuff like parents do. Like, I didn't pay attention, but by 2009, they really started talking about it because they were not happy in what kind of situation the whole family is.
Yeah, of course.
So me being the son of my father, I was like, I wanted to start making music. So I've wrote this song. It actually was on the radio in 2008, 2009. And it was after that situation on 7th of April in 2009. If you remember,
yeah, of course.
It's when the whole crazy stuff was happening here in the center of the city. And that song got to the radio. I didn't even think about it. I was like, I was just making songs with my friends. We're just rapping, coming with some rhymes, trying to be rappers. We are young, so we just, you know, do whatever makes us happy.
What's the song called?
It was called Strochka za Strochka. So basically, if we translate it to English, bar to bar. Mm-hmm. So it had no hook. It was just three verses with no hook, with no chorus, and me just going, describing the situation in my country. Mm-hmm. From the point of my view, how I see everything, starting mm-hmm. from the street I'm from and ending up what we see on the news and we read the newspapers. So I went kind of rebellious as well in that song. So at that time, when everybody started talking about why this song even got to the radio, my father was like, first of all, why you didn't tell me you're making such a song? And I told my father, I was like, Dad, you do the same thing, but in your newspaper, like father, like son,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
What do you expect from me? Like, if I want to talk about some crazy stuff and I want to speak my mind up and be truthful to myself, that's just from seeing you doing it for a couple of years as well. So mm-hmm. I just take the example. So then everything got even worse. Like now, not only newspaper having a beef with the president at that time, it's a younger son doing a song which plays on the radio, talking about the same crazy corruption and police and brutality and stuff like that. So now we have too much attention on the family. And my second brother was born, you know? So by 2009, my dad wasn't playing. He was like, okay, you got a good grade. I got some bank loan just to push you out of the country, make you safe. Mm-hmm. And I'm 16. I'm like, man, I don't want to do that. So I basically go to that school. That boarding school was the best place to go to be honest with you. And I'm not talking about no education stuff. I'm talking about the life experience mm-hmm. because it's international boarding school. We had like students from Austria, Germany, USA, Russia, Ukraine, you name it. And it was crazy. And I already was thinking about, I want to organize events. I want to do mm-hmm. these festivals and music festivals and stuff like that. And I already started doing it like in high school. Mm-hmm. So my company was basically started off with me having a associate degree in events planning and entertainment business. So when I came back to Moldova, I was doing events before the pandemic came.
Okay, let's pause a little bit because, wow, you are like full of really interesting experiences and some are really like, whoa. I mean, all of them actually. You already surprised me with so much information just in a couple of minutes. So let's pause a little bit and take it slowly because I feel like I can squeeze a bit more out of you. So let's start with the boarding school then. Where was that? In which country?
It was in Austria, Salzburg. It's mm-hmm. American International School of Salzburg.
How did you find that experience? Okay, I understand that you were suddenly open to new cultures, new people. How did you adapt there, especially that you are on your own, right?
Was it? Yeah, I'm completely on my own and I'm happy. I can do everything. I'm not like around my mother and my father who is, I don't know, when I'm outside of the house, they worried about what can happen because of the business they have. When I'm inside the house, they worry about what I can do as a kid just being at home, you know, like maybe stealing money or cigarettes or doing some dumb stuff. So I was used to this energy at home when people are like getting worried about things. And when I left home, I wasn't happy on the way to that school, but I was really happy. And in half a year, I was the happiest person because that school, it was the greatest experience ever. It was like in these American movies about the schools when you have like groups of people. These guys are nerds. These guys are the king and the queen of the school. This guy is a capo of the school. This is Bulgarians, and they have their own like little gang or clique in the school. So they just stick to each other. This is Ukrainians. This is students who live in school, in boarding school. And this is the students who go to school. And when the classes are over, they out of the class, they out of the school. Mm-hmm. And I really had to fight, like, because the staff members, the teachers took such a great care of us. I'm still thankful to Ms. Saron, to Ms. Brian, to everybody from the staff members. They're still working there. They'll be probably listening to it. I'm happy. They did their best to always take care of us and make sure we get education and we get educated. We focus on our future, but we are kids. So we're doing stupid stuff. We get in fights. We get to restrictions. We get detention. We have to stay after school and we can't go out and get a sandwich or something like that. So I was taking more experience, not actually studying my first year in boarding school. I was trying to fit in. Finally, I'm somewhere where nobody cares who my father is. Nobody cares who my uncle is. Nobody cares that this guy is my friend. I'm nobody. Like, I start from scratch. And I really had to fight for that reputation. And, like, it took me time.
Was it easy for you to make friends there?
In the beginning, yes. My first friends were all Russian speakers. But I was getting upset. I wanted to know this guy from Kenya, be friends with this guy from Bulgaria, be friends and see what this German guy is doing after school with computer science. I was like, I just wanted to connect to so many different cool people around me. And I wanted to be in that king and queen family. Like, with every year they had like king and queen and their entourage. And that was like, they were the biggest people in the school every year. And mostly they were seniors. So they were graduating. And every year inside of the dorm, people were basically voting who is the queen and the king of the school, who is the capo of the school. And they had like their entourage. So they were making the rules between the kids in school. And I wanted to get there, but all my Russian-speaking friends were racist. They were talking about crazy stuff. The German guy would just say hello, and they would be laughing and talking in Russian about, oh, we know how we basically kicked your ass in World War II and stuff like that. And and at some point, I got disgusted. I was like, I want to get to know people. I don't want to get stuck in Russian-speaking circles.
Yeah,
I want to upgrade my English. I want to meet different people from different cultures. What am I doing with you losers? So I was like, I gotta go. Like, I can't stick with you after school trying to buy vodka and all this stupid stuff. I want to go to this party. I want to meet this girl. I want to see that guy. I want to get into the whole king and queen family, you know? Yeah. So my first friends, they were like, no, we don't want to hang with them. We don't like Americans. We don't like Polish people. We don't like nobody but even each other. They even started getting in fights and having conflicts, inner conflicts, you know, between the Russian-speaking people. And I was like, no, I'm out of it. I don't want to do that.
So you slowly, I mean, I could see you were very curious and you were accepting of others and you were responsible, as I understand, because you had your own moral duty to like realize what was wrong for you and what was right for you. And you went further. But you mentioned like, okay, so I imagine later on you got to meet more friends from various backgrounds. But you mentioned something about graduation, and we all know these movies, American movies about graduation and stuff. Tell us about your graduation.
Oh my God. So this is my second and last year in that school. And I was in the king and queen's family. I was the couple. So I was like in charge of.
You wanted to get
there. I got there. Through fights and cuts and a lot of conflicts. Yes, I built my reputation like people build it in the movies when you see movies about prison. Like, I really had to make it work for myself. Wow. I wanted to make it work for myself. So my first year, I became like a protege of the king of the school. He liked the way I was thinking and where I was focused on. So when it was my graduation year, I was the capo. So I was taking care of all the conflicts between everybody in school. Like the king and the queen of the school, they don't take care of nothing. They just walk around and people are afraid to talk to them because they're too cool. The capo of the school, like an Italian mafia, I'm not joking, that's how it was.
Wow.
He is basically, everybody can come to my room and be like, it's hilarious after so many years, but I want everybody to know the truth. People were coming to my room and really telling me like, Zappa, I have this problem with my roommate. He doesn't shower. He stole my computer. Can you fix it? Yeah. I take a couple of friends. We go to his roommate. We make him to give the stolen thing back. We're telling him, you rather start showering or it's going to be some repercussions. And it's hilarious. Imagine so me, 18 years old, and I'm just this guy who is handling people's business the whole day, like during the classes and after the classes, everybody come for advice, for an offer, or asking for permission. Can we do this and that? Is it against the family? And I'm taking care of people. So people start loving me even more because I'm helping these little kids who get bullied. Mm-hmm. Because my first year, I was bullied a little bit. So I had to fight. That's why I had to do something to impress myself that I can stand up for myself and mm-hmm. be a man. And when it was my turn to take care of the business, my last year, I was like, no, I'm going to take care of everybody who's getting bullied for nothing. So mm-hmm. all the people who were bullied, they would come to me and I would go and help them out. Let's put it that way. And my graduation was crazy. We had an opportunity to call some of our friends from the years before who graduated already. We went to the most beautiful place in Salzburg. It was like a Hogwarts or something, like the building. And we had big tables and everybody were speaking emotionally, how happy they are their children are graduating. And we were getting awards and we were getting diplomas. And then we had a crazy club party just for us with no staff members and door parents. It was just us. And it was crazy because some of other kids who were not allowed to go, like if you're not graduating, you are not allowed to go to the graduation party. Like mm-hmm. what you're going to do there at night at the club. Mm-hmm. So some kids actually tried to jump off the second floor of the building of our boarding school at night. No, it wasn't drama. I just guess we were young and, everybody wanted to feel special about themselves because door parents were so nice. They were catching us the last second before we would do something out of hand. And they were not just putting us in detention like you did something bad and it's against the rules of the school. And they were not bullying us. I remember door parents talking to me for 2-3 hours in the office, just asking me what's the reason behind my action, why did I react that way, and how I should handle it if I want to grow and I want to make sure that I'm in that process when I'm stop being a kid and becoming a man. So they were taking good care of us. When I left that school, I left that school like people leave army or I don't know, prison or any military camp. I was a man when I left the school. I knew how to talk to different people. I knew how to communicate. I could tell the right from wrong. I finally understood the most basic but the most important stuff you need to learn on the way to becoming a man. Mm-hmm. So that graduation bash was crazy. I don't remember half of it. I was so happy to graduate. And we were just in one of the best nightclubs of the city among our friends and relatives. And We were popping bottles. We were cheering each other up. We were talking about our plans for the future, where we're going to go after school. And it was crazy, but in a good way. People were just so emotional, I would say, about our graduation.
So it's super important that you had people who are well equipped psychologically to look after you and to give you all these things that you said they gave you. And you said they're called door parents, right?
Yeah, door parents. Yeah,
because I never heard about this before. Are they like teachers, but also tutors, or what is the concept?
Let me tell you, door parents are the ones who live in boarding school with the students, like they have their own rooms. They make sure that, for example, we had this thing called study hall. It was, I guess, from 5 till 9, when everybody have to be in their room doing homework for the next day and preparing for projects. The doors, all the doors on the floor are opened to these rooms. And door parents made sure that we're all right. If we have any question, they might help us or tell us who can help us. So they were taking care of all the rules inside of the boarding school. Mm-hmm. And they were also in charge of all the activities. We had such a great list of activities in that school. We had like peanut butter jelly time, football, soccer team, basketball team. We were winning championships. It was everything for us. And door parents were taking care of organizing the whole thing for us after the classes. So everything before the classes and after the classes, it was organized by door parents. So they taking care of, they're in charge of everything in school and how, when we have lunch, when we have dinner, what kind of activities we have, at what time the soccer team is going to the championship, the volleyball team has training day and stuff like that. So yeah, they had a lot to take care of. And then they also had us young and ambitious and hurt because we're outside of the comfort zone. Our parents basically sent us somewhere where we don't have anybody. And that's why sometimes things got aggressive, because everybody is growing up and going through their own stuff. And they were basically, that's why they're called door parents. They were basically parenting.
It's a very cool and interesting concept. And I like how grateful you are for all this experience and for the people you had there, and that you acknowledge everything that they did good for you. So you said you had a degree in event. Did you decide yourself that you want to do that?
It's a funny story as well.
I like funny stories.
I hope everybody's going to love it. So I finished, I graduated the school, and I come back to Moldova where things got a little bit better. You know, we're not getting these phone threats and stuff like that. It's taken care of. It's getting better. So my mom, being my mom, she is like, I decided where I want you to go, son. The hospitality business, you know, it's expanding and stuff like that. So I decided for you to go. And I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, I wanted to go to psychology. Because after I went through so much drama, I would say, but also some happy moments and reviving stuff, like I wanted to be able to talk to people, help people. So I was like, but I want to do psychology. And she's like, you can try, but
I'll interrupt you a little bit to just ask you, what about music? Because you said you were into music as well. Did you change your mind about music? Or because I understand why you wanted to...
We're getting there.
Okay, we're getting there.
Don't you worry. Yeah.
I shouldn't interrupt. Okay, go for it.
So basically, she starts pushing me to this hospitality industry. And she's like, we got the best university in Europe. You're going to go there. You're going to get a degree. You're going to become a general manager of some hotel chain. And she had her own dreams, you know, like maybe most of our parents do that. Like, she had her own thing going on. I didn't even pay attention. I was like, okay, mom, I'll still outplay you in this game, so whatever you say, no problem. So she sends me to Lyon Institute of Higher Education in Switzerland to get a degree in hospitality industry. So while I'm there, I'm thinking to myself, I mean, again, I love the people. I already know how to live in boarding schools, boarding universities with campuses and stuff like that. I know how to socialize. I'm going to be the man in this university. Just give me some time. Mm-hmm. So I go there and I have my own plans. I wanted to start making parties outside of university and having deals with the nightclubs. I wanted to see as many beautiful women who were studying there as possible, making new friends. So again, I'm not really trying to study. And I'm so sorry, Mama. I guess she's going to hear everything I'm saying on this podcast. I'm so sorry that I didn't go to study where my parents planned me to really study, not to play around and do all this crazy stuff. So I go there, I do 1 year in hospitality, I fail a lot of classes, I come back to Moldova, I'm doing my internship here in Leo Grand Hotel, now it's Radisson Blue, and my internship goes extra well. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm really good at practicing. I'm not good at sitting in the class, you know, paying attention and see what's written on the desk. Like, I'm not this type of guy. Like, if you just push me into something I never did and tell me on the way how to do it, I would learn so much quicker in the process. So my craft-based learning course, I got great grades there. And my internship, I got like B+ or A- on the whole internship. I was grateful. But then I come back and I play a trick on my mom. I'm like, I see I have a lot of friends who are studying for events entertainment industry. And we all studied together at the same university. And I like what they're doing. They're organizing music festivals. They're doing sport festivals. They're organizing events. They're in entertainment business. They even organize the photo shoots and video shoots. I want to do that. I don't want to be in a hotel and do this general manager stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And my dean is telling me, we like your grade from internship and craft-based learning, but you have resets. You need to redo 2 exams. And only if you pass, you can go to the second course of hospitality management. So in my mind, I'm like, I gotta make it work. So I go, I fail on purpose these 2 resets. I go to my psychologist there and my dean. And I'm explaining them that I want to go to events. Can I just switch? And do I have enough credits to switch without doing the first year in events? I just jump right into the second one because they're pretty close with the subject matters and, and classes from with hospitality. And they're telling me, of course, Zappa, because come on, like you have enough credits to jump right into the events and entertainment. You can just do that instead of taking again these exams until you pass it and go to the second course of hospitality. So I'm like, I'm in. I'm gonna make it work for me. So I go, I failed this resets, these exams, just to call my mom and be like, Mom, this is the situation. I got an offer. I failed. It's closer to my soul. So I make sure she can't do nothing because she's in Moldova. And I'm thinking in my head, like, you can't do nothing because you're in Moldova. I'm in Switzerland. I'm the one who is taking care of the documents, talking to the dean, talking to the teachers. I'm taking care of the business here. Yeah, like you can't stop me. Like whatever you're trying to do. So she's like, how come? What you doing? I'm like, Mom, just don't be so stressed out. I'm going to go to events. Everything is under control, Mommy. Don't you worry. Oh, I think my battery is running low. And I just hung up on her, go sign the documents. I was switched right to the events. And I'm happy now because we're basically learning everything from PR, marketing, content making, organizing events, from grand openings to sport festivals with Red Bull. And I meet these great people from the industry. You know, they just take us to Innsbruck. So we're working on this big skiing festival where sportsmen come and they show their skills on a snowboard and skiing. And Red Bull is the great, is the biggest sponsor. And I meet the sponsors and we work together. And finally, I'm like, yes, again, I fought for my dream. I know I was slick. I know I was sneaky, but I did what I was supposed to do to make sure I'm on the right path. And that's how I got to events. Yeah.
Do you know what? I love that you have this mentality and that you're fighting for your dreams and for what you like, because many people don't have this courage, especially it happens with young people from Moldova who they have similar situations where the parents tell them go and do, I don't know, a law degree, economic degree, whatever. They think it might give you a great career. And then they find themselves not being happy there, but they don't have the courage to go and change the course or change, I don't know, the subject, whatever, and do all this talk and fighting. And so I'm so excited you have this kind of courage in you and that you're really a fighter. So well done for this. Right.
I appreciate it.
You had this amazing, amazing expertise in their experience and everything. How did you find Switzerland in general?
Love it. This is one of the best places you can go if you really put your mind to it. If you know the people, if you know the places, never listen to anybody saying, oh, you know what? I went to Switzerland. It was boring. Mm-hmm. No. You just need to know people. You just need to know the places, or better, if you know people and the places. So if you're a party animal, I'll make sure you're going to be a party animal for 7 days straight. No problem. Mm-hmm. If you want to go and enjoy the weather, the nature, the cows, go skiing, no problem. If you just want to make a movie there or do photo shoots, no problem. Switzerland is for everybody who is open to adapt. Mm-hmm. Switzerland is for everybody. The only thing is in a French canton, because Switzerland is like divided, they have like this French part and they have the German part. People there are not happy about you not knowing French if you are not just a visitor or a tourist. So when I was trying to show off and talk to some people, like, I don't understand what you're saying, speak English, they would look at me, laugh, and be like, here's the door, boy, go learn that French, then we talk. And I'm like, okay, this is different kind of country. In Austria, that worked. Here, it doesn't work like that. They don't care. They're like, go study French. We don't care. I don't speak your American bullshit. And I'm like, oh, okay. They're fighting till the end. If they speak only French, they're gonna speak French. They're not trying to get some words just to help you to find the street. No. They want you to know that you're in their country. You have to speak their language. They don't care about, they don't play with that.
Yeah. Because I was literally going to ask you, which language did you study in? But I suppose you're studying in English, but then you, in order to adapt to the place, you had to learn French.
I didn't.
You didn't do the other? Okay.
I didn't. I learned some like basic stuff to say and
to get around.
And I understood that they appreciate it to that level that even if you know just 3-4 words in French, but they see how hard you try to use it, they're gonna show you some love and they will let you know that actually they do speak English. They just didn't want to speak English with you from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But now they see how hard you try and you appreciate their culture. So now they're open. And I made a lot of friends outside of university because me and my friends, my group of friends, were like, okay, we basically, the people who study here at Lyon, from our point of view, 50% of them or 60% of them are kids from very wealthy families. Mm-hmm. Some of the kids had parents already established in the hospitality or events industry. So basically the father wants his son to get education so he can come back home and take care of the company he already established, for example. Mm-hmm. And then there was a small percentage of broke-ass guys like us who were like struggling a little bit with the money because our parents are not multi-millionaires, you know. Mm-hmm. Our parents taking banking loans, fighting for our future. We still don't study, but we also don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to my friends. I was like, look, we go to the nightclubs every weekend having fun. What if we have such a good connection with the CEOs and the managers there? We know so many people. Every half a year, new students come, and first thing they ask from the cool guys, where can I party? Where can I eat the good food? Where I can go crazy and have fun? Let's make a deal with these guys, these nightclubs, to bring them more people and get percentage of the entrance fee. And my friends was like, yo, we can make a lot of good cash in here. I'm like, exact. So I made a couple of connections. I'm like, we need to make this money. I feel broke to this guy. He just got 10,000 euros, francs from his family. Oh, go buy yourself some TV for your room in a boarding university, because what are you going to do without that TV and PlayStation? And I'm basically eating Mivina with my friends. So I'm like, no. No, I don't want to go around ask anybody for money or be somebody's little buddy who is always like, can I finish your steak? Can I finish your burger from McDonald's? Can I have a slice? I don't want to be that broke guy. So I'm like, let's get to the money. So we created a team of people and we started bringing students, organizing our own events. I even found some guys in our university who were DJing and producing music. So I was like connecting the dots, like, I know this guy, he's a great DJ. You guys don't have anything for this Friday. Let's make this type of party. I'm organizing it. You give me this amount of money, this percentage or whatever. So we were making deals and I started making money with my friends just by bringing all these students for every party. Because in university, everything worked like in boarding school. If a cool guy from university tells all the new guys that there is a party this Friday and they're newcomers, they're newbies.
Yeah.
What you think? They're going to be like, I want to get to know the cool guys. I don't want to be hanging around with some losers. So what they're going to do? They're going to grab some money, dress to impress and go to your party just to meet people. And so we were using that. I was like, finally, we're making some money out of it.
So you're basically going into business, but also applying the knowledge that you were getting from university. So it was all applied knowledge, right? You're just doing your own internship.
Exactly. And then I still had to do the internship. And we had craft-based learning courses where for 2 weeks we wouldn't study in class. We would go all the way to another part of Switzerland to the real festival or big concert and work there because they had connections. I made sure that I'm experiencing everything like in the process while I'm studying it in class. So that whole, let's get the money from the nightclubs, it was even better for us, I guess. I mean, guys didn't look at it that way. Most of them were just happy, like, oh, Zappa came up with an idea how we can make some money. And I was into like, yes, I will get some cash out of it. I will meet a lot of great people in this industry. But at the same time, I'm doing what I love and I'm practicing what I just learned 2 weeks ago in class. So it was a win-win situation for everybody.
That's the best way to do it. And what do you enjoy the most in organizing events? What's the most exciting part for you?
Well, I don't enjoy it anymore. We'll get to that really soon.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time when I was doing it, the most thing I enjoyed was supervising the whole event during the process of the whole event. Like, I didn't like the pre-production part and you need to go make these deals, count everything. I really didn't enjoy that part, but I enjoyed taking care of the event during the event, and I enjoyed giving people opportunities and chances. So if these guys wanted to become dancers and we are putting up the show where they can dance first time in front of the crowd, I want them to have this experience. If it's a guy who's a DJ or he's a rapper or MC or a singer, let's give these people some shot. Like, let's create opportunity for them to shine and show and just be themselves, do what they like, because everybody were stuck. You know, every time you start something new, you don't exactly know how to push it further because you're just starting out. So I can say that me and a lot of guys who were in my team and other guys who just saw us as example and they created their own teams, working with the nightclubs as well there. We all gave a lot of opportunities to our fellow students who wanted to have experience in what they like and what they love to do. So
that's so beautiful.
It was like a gift.
I really like that you like looking after people. I mean, you're looking after the people who are bullied, or you're looking after people who want to do something that they really love, and you just give them wings to do it and opportunities. So I like this trait of yours, as many others. So let's get back to, so we are back in Switzerland again. You finished, you graduated. Was there any point in time that you were thinking you'll be staying there, or was your plan to always come back?
No,
to
not at all. I knew from the first year I'm not going to be able to stay in Switzerland, mm-hmm. because this is not the easy country to get in and become a citizen and stuff like that. So I wasn't like lying to myself. My parents were really hoping, and maybe even I can see my mother praying every night. I mean, it's her business, but if you like praying, like, I'm not going to stop you. Like, they were maybe, not even maybe, they were really about, oh, you're going to stay somewhere in Europe and you're going to build this empire. And I was always like, you know, comes to one ear and comes out of the other, because I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. When you even come visit me, you see everything from the point of view of the tourist, of the visitor. I live here. I see how everything works, how the game is played. And I knew from the beginning, I'm not going to be able to stay there. And then some family stuff happened and I got an associate degree. I didn't pursue to get the bachelor's in events. And I was like, okay, it's time to bounce. Mm-hmm. So I go back to Moldova by 2014. And everything in Moldova changed drastically. Mm-hmm. Like, and I had to really work on myself, because to be honest, I came back spoiled. Spoiled from good shit. Let's put it that way. Because I would come here, I would look at events or look at photo shoots or whatever, and I'd be like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is how you put the budget. This is how you organize. This is, and people were looking at me like, who are you? We don't know you. You came out of nowhere. Like, who is this guy? Like, I used to go and ask for a job, and people looked at me like, are you crazy? So you want me to give you a job, and in 2 years, you go and sit right in my office instead of me? No, get out. See ya. Have a good time. And I couldn't find a job when I was here at all. There were only two people who gave me chances. It was Mr. Husnu, who was the general manager of Radisson Blu. So when they had grand opening, he asked me to come on the board to the team for 3 months and help them push it and make sure everything goes great. So I look at my CV, I'm like, wow, one of my biggest cases was grand opening of Radisson Blu in Moldova. Mm-hmm. And the second person was Aurelia Grigoriu. She is like the legendary lawyer, but she's also a businesswoman. She was organizing this big event here in Moldova for fighting for the rights of people. And there were some people from European Union, some ambassadors, and some serious events where people were talking about the problems and how to solve them. Mm-hmm. And she put me in charge. She was like, I can see this guy is going to go miles and miles around. So let's use this guy. So they were the first two people who really gave me a chance. They called me and they were like, we need you. And I still appreciate them, because nobody wanted to kick it with me. Nobody wanted to give me no chances. People were looking at me crazy like, so what? You have a degree from Europe. Who cares? Do you have friends in our company who's going to promote you? Do you have anybody who knows you who can tell me that I can take you on the board, then it was a different world. I was like, mm-hmm. okay, I don't know how everything works here, so I need to adapt quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I even worked as a promoter. Can you imagine me with the European degree from Switzerland when I was making maybe 1 to 2,000 maybe francs per month just by organizing events and doing some stuff for students? And now I'm in Moldova, broke, and I'm walking around the street asking people to fill in the document to win green card. So I was like, okay.
So reality hit in. But yep. you didn't give up. You just, you know, you kept going, and you had to adapt a bit. But I imagine you also shook things around a little bit in Moldova, because your experience was still useful, right, for making things happen in a better way.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I tried to use all the knowledge I got in university, because I was actually studying after half of year there. Mm-hmm. I started to take it serious. And, you know, not that many people understand how this works, mm-hmm. because they're not educated in such a serious university, or they don't have such a big experience how it works in Europe. So you can't appreciate something you don't know. So if the person is my client, he doesn't know that I did something great and that's why the event works how it works, he can't appreciate it, because he just doesn't know what's so special about this move and what's so special about the lighting, and like, they just don't know. So I didn't have a case people coming to me like, we appreciate you because you know, when this problem occurred, you solved it quick in such a manner. No, people just don't know how it works and behind the scenes. Yeah. So they couldn't really appreciate it at all.
But I'm still sure, even if you say you don't know, I'm still sure that you brought a lot, especially, and you especially probably had the chance to do things your own way when you founded your own company, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now we got to the point where
you now we're in the present.
Yes.
From 2017, 16 till now. I was doing events, and to be honest, to not to talk about it too much, the pandemic came. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about events when people are shook and they can't go to the shop without gloves and masks. And my team was like, no, it's going to be fine, Zappa, come on, find us new clients, let's work. And I was like, no, guys, I guess you are taking it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I'm taking care of too many people in my team, and they get lazy now. Mm-hmm. They don't want to find something themselves. They're just thinking like, you know, he's the CEO, he'll figure it out and give us work to do. And I just realized that I need to move on. I need to do something else, because this event stuff is not going to work like it used to anymore. And I had a big meeting with my first team, and I was telling them, we need to adapt. We need to switch real mm-hmm. quick. In 2 weeks, I don't care if you want to go and start learning designing, 3D designing, or photo shooting, or whatever. We need to switch. And nobody wanted to do it. So I guess not everybody can go with you when you decide to move on. Mm-hmm. And I just started writing to a lot of YouTube channels.
Mm-hmm.
And I would write emails, and I would spam them like in DMs and on Instagram, and I was telling everybody, I can write a script for your movie, for your new video, I can write script, until one of the biggest companies in St. Petersburg were like, oh, you want to write a script, let's have a call, let's talk about it, let's come up with a deal. And I was like, okay, this is the new chapter. We're doing scripting. We're doing video shoots, photo shoots. All of a sudden, everybody who left, they got replaced real quick. And I wasn't looking for nobody. People came their own way. telling me crazy stories about, you know, when you had this HR guy, your creative director in the company, and you were looking for new people for the team. I sent my CV back in 2016, but I didn't get a chance to go to the next round. But now, after so many years, I know how to do this and that. So I'm still offering my services. I want to become a part of Wellbe. And I was surprised. I was like, these guys got declined. They didn't have a chance to become a part of the team in 2016-17. And now they're coming back to me in 2019 by themselves, just saying, I was sending you my request and my CV. You didn't like what I was doing at that point, but I grew. I took some time to grow, and now I'm ready. And I was surprised. I was like, these people found me by themselves. I wasn't looking for people. They found me. And we started writing scripts for YouTube channels, for movies. Then I got this offer from Israel to write a script for the theater play. Wow. And it's good money and I'm feeling good. I don't need to run around seeing at what time the guests coming in, at what time the host gonna start the event. I can just sit at home with my wife and just use the laptop the whole day, drinking coffee, writing what I like.
What
and
is the script
that's
about,
how,
the theater one?
Oh,
if you can disclose, it's not a problem.
I can't really disclose, but I can tell you a little bit of that. It's basically one of the authors there. He's from Moldova, but he moved like in the 70s or something. He was writing a fantasy about one of our greatest personalities in Moldova from the times before Soviet Union. And he wanted to make it a fantasy. He wanted to make it a script for a movie and theater play. So we had to take his book, which wasn't published yet, and adapt it to the script.
That sounds so cool. You're just literally like living from one movie to another one. Your life is super interesting. Okay, so you're writing script. What's the most challenging part about writing scripts?
Look, I don't know, because I started writing scripts without having any knowledge of how to write a script. To be honest with you, I just Googled it and went for it. So when I started sending these long reads and scripts back to the companies, I was always scared, like, what if they just receive it and they say, what is this? Like, this is unprofessional. This is not what we're paying you for. So every time I was about to send it, I was like praying to Lord Shiva, like, please, can I make it right? And we would send the script and the feedbacks were always like, it's so great. We're gonna shoot this movie tomorrow. We're gonna start the shooting in 2 months. That's so great. We wanna work with you again. Can we make a contract for a long term? And I was like, how come? Like, maybe it's because of my background, because my parents are journalists and I was always writing since I was small, but I didn't know the specifics of writing a script. Like, I just had to go and Google it myself during the pandemic when I was sitting at home with my wife and we had only water and eggs and no money because everything closed down, shut down.
Yeah.
So,
but you see, you find ways of getting out of a situation very creatively, and you seem to be very excited and always trying to find a solution, and it's clear that you're natural at this as well. But I'm sure all your experience helped you being professional, even if you worry sometimes that you're not professional when you start things that you never did before. But I'm sure that all this experience is pushing you to do things better and better and get better at various things, even if you don't know if you can do it or not. So that's very interesting. And okay, so you said you're writing scripts for movies as well.
Yeah, but I can't disclose about it.
It's okay,
inclusive content.
It's fine. I'm not going to ask you about it, but you can say about the photo shoot. I read on your LinkedIn. Wait a minute. It was a photo shoot collaboration with Japanese.
Shoe brand Seiki.
Tell me about that one, because if you published it, it means you can talk about it.
Yeah. Again, it's just me being witty and trying to use another ways. In this case, what I did, I was like, okay, if I write them emails and they don't reply, what can I do? I can purchase the product myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can pay from my pocket to my team to make a photo shoot. I can publish, tag them, and inbox them on Instagram that look what I did. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to use a lot of money, but I have a good feeling about it. So I went for it for this plan, and I'm not like publishing it yet. We just made sure the photo shoot is done and we got the rights for the photos and stuff like that. And only then I inboxed them right away, not by, hi, my name is Alex Zapadinsky. I'm from Welby, Moldova, blah, blah, blah. Let's work. I just sent them, look, we like what you do. This is what we did ourselves just to show you if you're going to like it, because we like it. It's obviously cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know. And the rest was history, because when the company received already an example of we can possibly do together in the near future again and again,
mm-hmm.
not just words like, we can do that. I will make the best photo shoot. Because to be honest with you, entertainment business is full of bullshit. People always talk too much. And you really need to know how to understand if this person is just bigging himself up or it's really the truth what he is telling. And when we sent them already the photos, they got so excited. They loved it. They reposted it everywhere. And we're talking about making a contract for a year now.
Oh, congratulations. This is so exciting. But yeah, it's exciting, but also I can see the hard work behind it, because it's obvious that you're going extra miles to do to make all these things happen. So it's clearly your creativity and hard work that pays off at the end.
I guess. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited what we're going to do in the future, because it's basically a Japanese shoe company, but they're based in France, Paris. And I'm just Great. Excited to even imagine that we can possibly go to Paris this spring and do the photo shoot in Paris, because I haven't been in Paris since 2010. Like, it's been 11 years and I miss that place. A lot of good memories with Paris. I mean, the wine and the weather and everything. So I'm excited. I want to see how we're going to continue this collaboration together, because they loved it.
I'm sure this will all happen and you will have even more exciting things happen for you, because you're always reinventing yourself, as I understand from talking to you. And that's exciting and amazing. And I'm glad that we have such great talents in Moldova. So in the name of all Moldovans, well done for all that you're doing. And talking about, you said that about Paris. I can't talk anymore. I don't know what's happening. I'm just like listening to you. And then I get lazy when I talk, because I just want to listen to you and that's it. Do you have a favorite place, favorite country or city?
To be honest with you, I don't have like favorite places or favorite songs. I have favorite moments.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of good memories from being in Paris. I obviously have good memories being in London, because it was a school trip when I was in that Austrian American school. And I can't really describe my feeling towards the people and the vibes and how the buildings look, because we were too busy having fun, you know? So it's, and again, I guess I can't really say I have favorite places. I have favorite memories from places, but it's not about the places. It's about the people who were there with me.
Mm-hmm.
So Austria is like, Salzburg is my favorite city. I told my wife that she has to go with me. I'm more than welcomed in my boarding school after all these years. And Montreux in Switzerland, all the places where I studied, I have too many memories. Some people even approach me and telling me, you should write a script for a Netflix series about being a student in a boarding school. You can take all your stories and put it together. So maybe in 2-3 years, I will start writing that. Because too many things were happening. You know, it's a different world when basically everybody's stuck at the same city, at the same buildings, and it becomes a big community. And it's, I would say, for every young parent, if you want to still send your child to some boarding school or university outside of Moldova, don't think about the education they will get there. Think about how much they can learn for their future life. Like, because it's basically the first big step when you're by yourself, nobody's here, no mama's tea is here, no auntie is here, no dad, nobody is gonna help, nobody but you. And just by waking up every morning and figuring it out, it's the best thing you can do to your child is send them just to get this life experience. So when they graduate, they know how to approach their life, they know what they want to do, they know how they want to approach their dreams and make it come true, make it a plan, not just a dream. And I mean, Europe is beautiful, but I haven't left home since 2015. I was too busy building everything with my wife, and it took time. When I tell the stories, people get excited and happy. I mean, I'm excited and happy as well to, you know, sometimes to go back and think about things, how to take care of my business. And sometimes you just need to sit down and look at the mirror and tell yourself that you're one bad guy. You know how to deal with problems. You can go and get it today, tomorrow. I think we all need to tell each other, not each other, but tell ourselves more about our accomplishments and what we can do to go to the bigger picture. Yeah. So maybe when we hear stories, it's all fun and happiness. But if you really go back to the real time and see how the person who is the main character of this story was rebuilding himself every time, breaking himself, not sleeping for 4 hours, thinking about how can I change my situation until really coming up with a plan and go and make it happen. And that's what I love about Moldova, because when I came back, it was so much propaganda going on. Nothing can be done in Moldova. I was hearing it from my OGs, from old heads, from people older than me. Nothing can be done in Moldova. You can't build shit in Moldova. And people like were really pushing it to my mind, to my brain, like, you are not making it in Moldova. If you want to make it, go to Moscow, Barcelona, Bucharest, Budapest, Los Angeles, everywhere, but you cannot make it in Chisinau. And I was like, that can't be true, because I see people driving Rolls Royces. I see young people doing some projects, and some people from press from Europe write articles about them. It can't be true. So I really had to, again, go and see what people can I connect myself with, who I can learn from. And these people need to be better than me, more successful than me, because if I'm going to stick around people who are not in the best time of their life and I'm a little bit better, then I'm not going to learn anything. So I was like, I need to go and meet all the young businessmen, all the young entrepreneurs, all the hustlers, everybody who is doing something, who wakes up every day and trying to build something. And that's what I was doing for this couple of years, is just figuring out who is doing what and try to talk to these people, get connected with these people, and learn, and also share my experience. Because people of my age, when I was coming and talking to them, they were telling me, we're not gonna give you a place as a job in our company because you're ambitious enough and you can do it yourself. Mm. Second of all, maybe you should just leave my office now, come back in 2 years with your own company and we do collaboration together. Oh. And I was like, this is motivating. This is the approach. They were not talking about you're going to take my place. Yeah. They were talking about you can do it yourself. Why are you even here in my face? Go do it. Go figure it out. Come back. Let's collaborate as company and company. Why should I take you for a job if you are bigger than that? And I really got happy that young people here are not worse than me. Some of them till this day are better than, because they have their own struggle and they had to take a lot of time to figure it out.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was actually going to ask you if you see high hopes in Moldova, because I see a lot of young, enthusiastic and very, very capable people like yourself going back to Moldova and making really interesting things and interesting projects. And I can see a lot of this happening, and there is that contrast of what you are saying. There are other people saying like, no, Moldova is dead. That's it. There's no hope for it. So you're on the side of that there is hope for Moldova, right? You can see things happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that my generation is in charge of starting shifting the ground. We can just start moving a little bit, moving this furniture in our country just a little bit, and it will create a change. So most of people who are around me, and they also my age or a little bit older, like 1-2 years older than me, this year a lot of us became fathers and mothers. And I see that changed us drastically, because now I'm not trying to build wealth just to get wealth. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to build Wellbe to create new experience here in Moldova, and also to tell my son when he's going to be 18, 19, that you don't need to go to no university if you don't want to. You can be born in an empire, even if it's a small empire, and just be in charge. So it's now it's more than money, you know. Now we are thinking about our infants, our children, you know, some of them are just 6 months old, like my son. And we're thinking about what can I leave my son? What can I build just to pass it, you know, because we need to do that.
Congratulations, by the way, for becoming good parents.
Thank you.
That's another Thank great you. Thing that happened in your life. So it's all amazing and great. And I'm glad that we are having this optimistic note to wrap up this podcast, unless you have anything else that you want to add. Do you have anything that you wanted to talk about that maybe I didn't think about asking you?
Yeah, I want to promote myself. So this Please year do. we're coming fully loaded this year as a Wellbe as content company. Mm-hmm. We're getting in a big deal, in a shoe deal with a big brand. I'm not talking about that Japanese shoe. I got the documentary coming this year. Wow. It's a huge, huge documentary about one of the most anticipated and important music artists from USA, one of the biggest stars in USA.
And I suppose you can't tell us who that is, right?
No, I can't tell you that.
People, you'll have to stay tuned and follow Alex and listen and wait for the documentary, because it's going to be a big reveal. Okay, continue.
Yeah, it's going to be a big, big documentary of one of the biggest artists in US. Now we got this deal when we're going to do some scripts for big platforms like Netflix and Hulu. And stay tuned to our music artist I'm producing right now. I'm executive producer of. He's about to drop 3 albums this year in English, Russian, and it's going to be available on all platforms. So we're coming fully loaded, ready to take over the market.
Well done. These, I mean, I think we should still talk for like 3 more hours to tell us all these amazing things that you're doing. Where can people find you apart from LinkedIn?
Oh, people can find me on Instagram. It's at Zapadinsky, Zapadinschi. And you can follow me on LinkedIn, because I try to push my LinkedIn account so I can get to a lot of interesting people. And the last thing I want to add for everybody who was listening to our funny and crazy stories podcast, it's 2022. So 2021 was the year of the hope, and 2022 is the year of taking action. And nowadays, to get in touch with the artists, to find a job abroad, or find any ways to start a project, you don't need to go through all that bullshit our parents had to go through. Now you can just use your social media. 50% of the contracts Wellbe has right now, it's because me as CEO was following the right people on all the social media platforms, writing and inboxing them, spamming them, selling what I can do for them, getting in connected and working together. So nowadays, if you want to do something, you can write to anybody, anybody you want. You can inbox anybody. You can find an email of every manager of every music artist, actress, or podcast host, or whoever you want. You can just find them using LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all these different platforms. So let's not talk about things we can do, and let's just talk about things we can do. And let's not talk it, let's show it. Let's go and prove to ourselves that we can all do what we love to do. And we don't need no cosigns, and we don't need nobody to help us. We can do it ourselves, just to push ourselves. And we can get in contact with everybody we want, because we have social media and we have internet.
Love it. Internet, connecting people. And it's super motivational.
Exactly.
Yes, it's super motivational. I subscribe to what you say, and I think it's great advice for anyone who's listening. Thank you so much, Alex. We will
stay in touch
because I'm super curious about all your projects that you can't disclose yet. Best of luck with everything, and hopefully we will have another episode after you get more projects to talk about.
We will. I really want to talk to you when my documentary comes out.
That's going to be another episode right there. Settled.
Exactly. So we can talk about how I will explain to everybody how you can start writing scripts without going to no school to teach you and ask you for a $30,000 fee, and just start writing scripts yourselves and start offering your services, just like I did in 2019, to anybody you ever imagined to. So next time, no problem. I will let you guys know how you can cheat, but in a good way, how you can play the game, but you can be smart about it. And don't waste too much time or too much money on them.
Oh, that's super interesting and a great promo for the next episode. I can't wait for it. Have a great day, and keep in touch.
You too. Thank you so much.